As you're turning to Hebrews chapter 12, I'd like to bring to your attention a gift that you'll be receiving as you leave the church this morning. We've purchased one of these for each of our families. We'd like to encourage you and your family to spend the next 25 days between now and Christmas on a journey. As the book says, it's a journey to the true joy and meaning of Christmas. This morning, the Carruthers and Dean Ledford will be at the door, and they'll be giving each of the families one of these. And each of these days, or each, there's 25 different devotions. They're about 2 pages in length, but they'll deal with why he was born and how you can discover things about his birth that will help you better understand what it is that God has for your life and how God serves the very center of your life as not just your Savior. And isn't it nice to have somebody that's not just your Savior, but your salvation? Because that means he's not just saved you and it was a one-time deal. It means that on a continuous basis, his salvation is available to you and to me and to us. And so each service, I'm going to ask you how you're doing. But we'd like to ask you to partner with our family and journey through these 25 days to Christmas and read these as a devotion, as a family. And at the end of it, just have a time of prayer. Now, if your family might just be me, myself, and I. Well, we encourage you to bring me, myself, and I for the next 25 days on this journey to experiencing the true life and the true meaning of Christmas and of Jesus Christ. And so if you're at Hebrews chapter 12, I'd like to begin this morning by reading to you a wonderful story about Eric the Swimmer. Eric the Swimmer, Mosimbani of Equatorial Guinea, was an unlikely hero of the Sydney Olympic Games. The 22-year-old African had only learned to swim the previous January. He had only practiced in a 20-meter pool without lane markers and had never raced more than 50 meters. By special invitation of the International Olympic Committee, under a special program that permits poor countries to participate, even though their athletes don't meet customary standards, he had been entered in the 100-meter men's freestyle. When the two other swimmers in his heat were disqualified because of false starts, Mosimbani was forced to swim alone. Eric Mosimbani was, to use the words of an Associated Press story about his race, charmingly inept. He never put his head under the water's surface, and he flailed wildly to stay afloat. With 10 meters left to the wall, he virtually came to a stop. Some spectators thought he might drown, even though his time was over a minute slower than what qualified for the next level of competition. The capacity crowd at the Olympic Aquatic Center stood to their feet and cheered the swimmer on. After what seemed like an eternity, the African reached the wall and hung on for dear life. Sounds like an overcomer to me. When he had caught his breath and regained his composure, the French-speaking Mosimbani said through an interpreter, "I want to send hugs and kisses to the crowd." It was their cheering that kept me going. Let's stand to our feet and read Hebrews chapter 12 together. All 342 verses. Beginning in verse 1, it reads, "Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses who are cheering us on, who are shouting our praises, who, when we come up 10 meters short of the finish line, they cheer wildly. Let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles, and let us run with perseverance." Perseverance is the ability to persist in an idea, a purpose, or a task despite the obstacles. "Let us continue to run with perseverance the race marked out for us, and let us fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God." This morning, I want to teach on perseverance. What will I be speaking on?
Perseverance.
When you get to your cars at after 1 p.m., and you look at each other and you talk about what the pastor preached or taught on this morning, you will tell each other,
perseverance.
Perseverance, you know, is the ability to persist in an idea, a purpose, or a task despite obstacles. Dear Heavenly Father, within each of our lives do we hold obstacles? And today we determine in our hearts to see our obstacles as something more, something else. Today, rather than just being an obstacle that keeps us from going, we now purpose in our hearts to see them as opportunities. Opportunities that will cheer us on and keep us going on. And so this morning we dedicate ourselves to learning about perseverance and turning our obstacles into our opportunities. And so we set our Bibles and our notebooks down. And we open our eyes prayerfully, looking at other swimmers in the spiritual Olympic pool. And we look around and we see that some have come up, Heavenly Father, more than 10 meters short. In fact, some have dared to even touch the water in the pool. And we've seen that there are those that stand with us that are discouraged. They see their lack. And they see the short end of the stick. And so now, we pause in our own race. We stop for a moment being participants in our race. And we start becoming spectators in the race of others. And we begin to serve them as witnesses. As fans. And now we'll begin to cheer them on. Hallelujah. You can make it to the other end. Turn to someone and tell them, you can make it. Keep swimming. Okay, now let's try that again. Let's try that as if you were needing them to cheer for you. And you cheer for others as you need others to cheer for you. Yeah! You can do it! You go, boy! Go, 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 go! Just when you thought you had seen it all in church. You may be seated. Turn with me to Romans chapter 3. Romans chapter 3 begins to speak of a forgiveness of sin through Christ, a righteousness through faith. It's here that you and I find the obstacle that stands before us and the finish line. It's here that you and I find out just how far we have fallen and how our lives indeed fall short. Not just of the finish line, but on a daily basis, the glory of God. I'm convinced that each and every one of us are all too familiar with where we fall short. And this morning, I think the Holy Spirit wants us to begin to see that falling short can be more than just an obstacle. It can start becoming an opportunity. And if you'll smile, I'll keep going. Verse 21 says, "But now a righteousness from God apart from the law has been made known, to which the law and prophets testify." This righteousness from God comes through faith in Jesus Christ to all who believe. There is no difference. No difference for the Jew, no difference to the Gentile. For all are alike in verse 9 under sin. Verse 23 says, "For all have sinned and come short or fallen short of the glory of God." Here it is. You and I have fallen short. Each and every one of us are included in the category called all. Each of us have fallen short and on a daily basis continue to fall short over and over again. And yet falling short is more than just an obstacle. It can become an opportunity. Unless, of course, we're not careful. I found that with human nature, it's our tendency to spend most of our time and all of our attention focusing on the gap, the space, the place in our lives where we fall short. And we continuously live our days out based on the reality of our vision of falling short. We hear ourselves use words like insecure, inferior, afraid, scared. And it's you and I that in those words are telling others that we're living out of the place that we fall short in. And so we spend most of our life trying to measure up. We keep trying to fill in that gap, the gap between us and the 10 meters that stands before us and the finish line, which in this case is the glory of God. But what I propose to you this morning is that after the sin, after the shortcoming, after the suffering, comes the glory of God. This scripture even bears that teaching out. For all have sinned. For all have sinned. And all have fallen short. But in that falling short is an opportunity to get to the other side and to reach for that which comes after. Suffering, sin, shortcoming, or falling short. And that is to get to the end of the pool where the glory of God is at work in our lives. If we're not careful, we'll spend our whole lives trying to measure up, trying to fill in the gap. We'll try in our own strength to fill that void of falling short. In fact, if you're not careful, you'll begin to look at others. And through your eyes, all that you'll ever see in the relationships you have is where others fall short. You'll find yourself carrying into your relationships unhealthy, unfair expectations. Expectations that so blind you, they're like cataracts. They're like cataracts, and when you look at people, you never truly see their good. You never truly see the things that they do well. They could do 99 out of 100 things perfectly. But because you so live yourself in the mode of falling short, in the gap that is without His glory, then that's all you see in your perspective as you look at others. You don't often encourage them, compliment them, or build them up. Because you so few times truly see what they do well, you focus your attention on what they don't do well. Ever been there before? Ever been on the end in which you expected something from someone that was superhuman, so superhuman that you yourself couldn't live out what you expect, and yet you expect that person to live that out on a daily basis, and so therefore, because you don't and they can't, both of you remain miserable? Now, the question that begs to be asked is, how do you and I get to the other side of the pool? Not just in our relationships with each other, but in our relationship with God. You see, each of us can see ourselves in Eric the swimmer, Mosambani. Each of us can see certain like areas in our life where no matter how hard we try, no matter how fast we swim, no matter how many people cheer, at best, we always come up 10 meters short of the wall. So, when we come up short, how do we get to the glory? Who fills in the missing space? How do we account for the last 10 meters? Well, I propose to you this morning that just as in Romans 3 and 23, we find the sin and we find the falling short, it's in Romans 3:23 that we find the difference. We find whom fills the gap. And His name is simply Jesus, who the Hebrew writer said gives us the ability to throw off everything that hinders, who gives us the ability to become untangled by the sin that so easily entangles us, who in that last 10 meters, when we're not strong enough in ourselves, He'll be the strength that will keep us persevering until we reach His intended ideas, His intended purpose, and His intended goal, until you and I finish the race that He's marked out for us. Notice here it says, in those last 10 meters, when you know you've done everything you can do and you still fall short, the Scripture says in Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 2, then now let us fix our eyes on Jesus, who is the author of the race that we swim, or the race that we run, and He is the perfecter of our faith, meaning He is the one that finishes, and He's the one that completes it, who for the joy set before Him, He endured the cross so that you and I wouldn't have to. That's where I want to pause. Is so often you and I live in that place of the cross. Follow me here. It's the cross and the person that hangs on it that fills in the 10 meters in your life where you fall short. Are you breathing? Do you see the example? You see, here is you and I over here. We're in the pool of life and we're swimming and swimming and swimming and we're doing the best that we can do with what we have. And not only with what we have, but with what we can borrow from others or what we can blame on others. And we swim and swim and swim and we do the best that we can do. And we arrive 10 meters short of the wall. There it is. We can see it. We can see the person we're supposed to be. We can see the things we're supposed to do. We're to see the dream and the vision and the reality thereof. But we can't seize it because we've fallen short. And it's where we have fallen short that the author of our life says, that which I started, that which I began, I will perfect and I will finish. It's in that gap. It's in that space where you fall short. It's there that the cross hangs. It's there that the Savior lives. It's there that the grace is applied. It's there that the forgiveness is released. It's there that you and I get the extra height that we need and the extra gap that we must have to run with the big dogs and to get off the spiritual porch and quit talking about someday and start turning someday into today and this becoming the day that you and I can rejoice and be glad in hanging on to the wall for dear life and knowing that we might not have finished first, but baby, we finished. Amen. So what happens though, okay, and here's the painful part for you and I, is that we arrive at the cross and we recognize, wow, we've come up short again. And our spouse would say, and again, and again, and again, and again. But we arrive at that same chapter with another started project without a finished task. How many people live in started tasks with unfinished lines? I'm going to do this for a while. I'm going to be this for a while. And for a while, maybe longer, we do that. Only to come up short and be aggravated. Only to come up to the place where we realize what we already knew. We ain't good enough. We're not enough. And it's here that we come to this very painful place called the cross. It's this place that requires more of Him. It's this place that we must have Him. It's this place that only He and He alone can carry us to the finish line. And what we have a tendency to do is we, instead of appropriate the privileges of the cross, we start getting up on the cross. And we start nailing ourselves to the cross with words. Proverbs says in chapter 18 and verse 21 that the tongue has the power of life and death. And we start using our words like spikes. And we start nailing our hands to the wall, or to the, not the wall, where, thank you very much. And I'm talking about what today? Okay. Not perspiration, but perspiration. Okay. So here we are. And we start using our words, and we start allowing our thoughts to pin us to the cross. The cross that He's already endured the scorn and the shame of. And we start getting on the cross and we start listening to all those little voices that condemn us and embarrass us and make us feel ashamed of what we already knew. And that is without the grace and the love and the gift of God, we'll never measure up and we'll never be enough. Do you think that honestly the enemy is going to one day call you on the phone and say, hey, Pastor Clint, I just wanted to call. And I just wanted to tell you what a great job you've been doing lately. I think sometimes we feel that's going to happen. That the enemy's going to call and say, you know, I thought I had defeated you. I thought I had overcome you, but you have proved me wrong. I was just so moved Sunday morning by how you praised the Lord. I knew I had given you trials all week long and it didn't make sense. And you raised your hands anyway and you shouted for joy and you went down to the altar and prayed for others and met the needs of others and you finished the course, baby. You overcame me. You didn't just get on the cross to die. You let the resurrection power of the cross carry you through this tough time and bring you to the place where the ends meet and you achieved your goal. And I just want to tell you as the enemy of your life that through many trials and many assignments against you, you're the man. I'm so proud of you. I'm going to follow you for a while. The enemy's not going to do that. Instead, he's going to get you to the place where you have fallen short and you're tired and you're exhausted and you're barren and you feel like you're living in exile. That you are on the outside of your promises looking in, and you are looking in and it seems like everybody else's dream, everybody else's vision is coming to pass. Everyone else's prayers are being answered. Everyone else at church seems to have no problems. It's just you and little old you that comes up 10 meters short every time you get in the spiritual Olympic pool. That's how the enemy's going to do. He's going to say, you just need to get up on that cross for a while and let us hurl rocks and stones at you for a while and beat you up and take you down. You're not faithful to church. You're not faithful to this. You're not faithful to that. You don't finish this. You don't finish that. And have you noticed you gained a little weight and lost a little hair? Have you noticed? Have you noticed? Have you noticed? And you and I somewhere in our human nature think we deserve that because we have been so bad. See, that's living life without seeing the grace of Jesus Christ. When you don't measure up, He does. When you can't reach the other end of the pool, He already has. And He is not slack concerning His promises. And when you are about to go down and out for the count, it's then when you call upon the name of the Lord. When you call upon the name of the Lord. It's then when you call upon the name of the Lord. It's then when you call upon the name of the Lord. It's then when you call upon the name of the Lord. It's then when you call upon the name of the Lord. When you're going down and it looks like the enemy left you drowned like a dead rat and you call upon the name of the Lord. I'm saying there's something about calling on the name of the Lord. I'm not saying that you're calling to see what time the local movie starts. You're not calling to see why your kids ain't home. You're not calling to see if your Thanksgiving turkey at Cracker Barrel is done yet. You're calling on the name of the Lord. And then the name, you know what I was really shooting for? You would start saying Jesus. And you would start chanting, Jesus, Jesus. That's why I kept doing that. But you got excited anyway, so I just kept going with it. But then see, you're saved. Saved from what you are and saved from what you're not. It's no big surprise to Him that you can't make it to the other end. He knows you can barely finish the 25-meter pool, much less the 100-meter pool. He knows a part of you is allergic to chlorine. Nobody likes spiritual chlorine. It burns. It cleans. It turns things whiter than snow. But what happens to us is we get to this place where we fall short. And we don't recognize that it's the grace that carries us to the glory. It's the gift of God. When He looks down from heaven, He's moved because He sees His Son moved. And He sees His Son move towards little old you, who He died for when you were dead in sin. Not just dead in the pool of water, but dead in the pool of sin. And it causes Him to reach His hand down toward what His Son has put His hand on. And oh, how it feels when His hand has been put on you. Oh, that's the Italian in me coming out. Whew. On September the 2nd, 1945, the documents of surrender officially ending World War II were signed by the Japanese and designated representatives of Allied nations. General Douglas MacArthur officiated the ceremony aboard the USS Missouri and was the last to sign on behalf of the United States of America. Say that, United States of America. I'm sorry, I have to pause right in the middle of this story. Can you remember where we're at? And just say, even just hearing our nation, just hearing the United States of America, it moves me. I think back to when the U.S. hockey team upset Russia. And I think about, that's got to be one of the greatest sports moments in all of history. And you begin to hear all of the witnesses, all of the people in the crowd start to chant, USA, USA. Doesn't that send chills through your spine? It makes me want to go out and be a hockey player. Some of you are thinking, well, you could fill out most of the goal. That would probably be good. But that feeling, that inspiration, think about it, how that makes you feel. And the next time you're tempted in your falling short to get on the cross and try to finish a work that's already been finished by the gift of God through the grace of Jesus Christ, begin to hear heaven sound your name. Gregory Dale, Gregory Dale, Gregory Dale. You got to stop and listen to the witnesses, because that causes you to pick your head up from where you are and look to where He is and remind you, oh, this is where I hand off the baton, where I fall short, where I am weak, He is strong. I've got to hand the baton off. The witnesses in the spiritual Olympic arena are cheering my name. They're calling my name so that I'll lift up my eyes and see the perfecter and the finisher of my faith. And when I see Him, He'll call my name. And when He calls my name, He will put His hand upon me and He will take me to the place I cannot go myself. That's what that scripture means when He is just the author and the finisher. But what happens is we get our eyes on where we are. And we live in where we are and what we feel and what we've been through. And we start to sink into pools of unforgiveness, pools of bitterness, pools of resentment, pools of having a good memory and reminding ourselves why we should feel this way and act this way because we were done this way. That's what that scripture means when let us fix our eyes on Jesus. If you've not gotten anything out of the service this morning, I'm sorry. I've gotten much. But get a little bit more. Get this. That when you're tempted to quit, look up. Look up and see the spiritual witnesses calling your name. And fix your eyes on the author and the finisher of your faith. Back to our story. MacArthur, flanked by his military colleagues, took his Parker fountain pen and simply signed his first name, Douglas. He then passed the pen to General Wainwright, who signed Mac. MacArthur then handed the pen to General Percival, who signed Arthur. This unusual procedure was MacArthur's way of honoring the two U.S. generals who had suffered severe persecution as prisoners of war. They had persevered, and now they were allowed to share in the glory of the victory. Wow. When you get to that place this week, and you will. When you get to the place today, and you will. When you get to the place in this service, right now, and you are. Remind yourself that beyond the persecution is the glory. That after suffering, that after sin, after shortcoming, comes the glory. Paul describes the future of those of you who persevere in their spiritual battles. Now, if we are children, then we are heirs, heirs of God and co-heirs with Christ. If indeed we share in His sufferings, in order that we may also share in His glory. When you get to that moment where you fall short, and you will, and it becomes a prison to you, and this moment of falling short, it will become a prison to you. Remember these two great generals, Wainwright and Percival, who endured their suffering. And they went beyond that point, and they walked those last 10 meters. They have fought a good fight. They had ran a good race. And yet they had come to a place in the journey that where they had come short and were now imprisoned, it could have captured them and it could have defeated them. And yet they persevered, which is the ability to persist in an idea, a purpose, or a task despite obstacles. When you get to that moment, and you will, look up. Look up. Look up. Because when you look up, you will not give up. And it's only when you look up that you begin to measure up. Because when you look up, He begins to show you all that you are, not in your own power, not in your own strength, not in your own might, but who you are in His eyes because of the grace and the gift He has given to you and to me. In that name of that gift, who brings the grace, is Jesus. Is Jesus. Is Jesus. Friend, I don't know where you are this morning. You may not even know for sure where you are. But I dare say that for every person in this room, you're facing something in your life this morning. You've done all you can do, and you've come to that place where, wow, I am like at least 10 meters short. We've paid all of the bills. And yet, there's more month left than there is money. We've prayed for our kids. And yet, they still rebel. We've begged God for our future. And yet, it still seems meters away. I don't know where you are this morning. But I know where He is. Okay, I could resist. I don't know where you are this morning, but He does. And when you're good and tired and all else fails, He's ready for you to reach for Him. Would you just stand to your feet this morning? And right where you stand, get good and honest with God and tell Him what He already knows. That the place that you've fallen short feels like a prison to you. It feels like World War II. You started out as a king and a priest. You started out as a general. But now you're imprisoned. You had all these dreams, all these ideas, all these goals. And now you're exhausted. You've done all you can do. You're out of strength. You're out of courage. Tell Him that. Be honest with Him. And be honest with yourself. It's not until you're honest with yourself that you can honestly experience Him. As you're honest with Him, telling Him where you have fallen short and what you've not been able to pull off yourself, just begin to turn your eyes upon Him. And as you sing this song, let these words be your invitation. Your invitation to invite Him into your prison. Jesus.